Well, good to be back tonight. Appreciate you coming out. It always amazes me when anybody will come a second night to hear us. Amen. And so appreciate you being here. I want to thank the church for all that they've done so far this week. We have been blessed already. The wonderful room, the meals have been fantastic. The fellowship with your preacher, we've enjoyed it. And all the missionaries as well. And good to be back this evening. You know, it's an amazing day when we can get together and realize that there are people around the world that need to hear what we take so for granted. It's amazing that we have these wonderful opportunities, and we're so thankful. Tonight, take your Bible, if you will, and turn with me to the passage that we're probably most familiar with when it comes to faith promise. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you will, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. On Sunday night, you're going to be asked, I guess Sunday, to sign a promise card, not sign it, but to fill out one and to turn it in. And you are going to look at that opportunity for this next year of what God would have you to do in this matter of reaching a lost and dying world throughout your giving, through your giving. It's easy to sign a card. It's easy to put down a number. It's another thing to do the performance of that, to fulfill the promise. And so tonight I just want to share with you just briefly why and how that how can we be at the end of this next year, the Lord holds back his coming and we're still here. How can we look back over this year and say, boy, I was, through God's grace and through God's mercy and his provision, I was able to fulfill that promise every week. And how can we do that? Well, as you will, please, and 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you'll join with me in standing as I read the first five verses of this passage. And Paul writing, of course, to the church at Corinth, and he says this, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power, and I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this we did, or this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." So how can we do what we're supposed to do? How can we fulfill what God has laid upon our heart? The key is in that passage tonight. Let's pray, shall we? Once again, Father, we're so thankful for this privilege of being in this place at this time. And Lord, I thank you for already the great day that you've given to us, the fellowship, the blessings, and for these that are here tonight. And Lord, tonight they have come to be encouraged, to be helped. And certainly, Lord, I need your help in doing that. And so we need to, once again, to ask that you would open up the windows of heaven, pour out your power and spirit upon this place, and fill this preacher tonight as I yield to you. Help me, Lord, to do that message and give that message that you've laid upon my heart. Now we'll thank you and we'll praise you already for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Sunday night's going to be a wonderful night. I'm looking forward to it. I know your pastor is as well, as he looks to what the church can do through your giving in this next year. What is required, though, if we're going to be and you're going to be successful in your missions giving in this next year? If we had time tonight and look back at the book of Romans, Paul writing to the church at Rome for the first 11 chapters, he gives in those first 11 chapters fundamental doctrines. He's teaching the church on things. Beginning in chapter 12, he now shares how to apply those doctrines, what's required in fulfilling what God wants us to do. And so in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so the key here in doing everything is, what do we do with that? Where do we go with that? Christianity is intensely practical, and Paul beseeches us here in chapter 12, verse 1, to involve ourselves in that totally, giving ourselves over to what the Lord wants us to do. I believe today that we live in a day when far too many Christians practice their Christianity with their heads only. What I do, how I can demonstrate I'm a Christian. I believe in being faithful to the church. I believe in tithing. I believe in all those things. And sometimes we justify who we are by what we do. We practice it intellectually. But I want you to realize that what you are is not important as whose you are. And that's where the bottom line really lands. Wholeheartedness for God ought to characterize the life of every Christian. You know, we'd expect your pastor and these missionaries to be godly, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you expect that they would be holy and serving God and faithful in their family and to the ministry that God's called them? You would expect that. May I say, I believe the pastor of the church ought to expect the same thing from the members of the church. You see, it's not just the pastors and the deacons and the missionaries and the Christians that are in full-time service that ought to live for God and be wholly, wholeheartedly given over. Every Christian ought to be that way. Every one of us has that responsibility. And so if we're faithful to God and wholly dedicated, that's what we find here in verse number 5, is that they gave themselves first before they did anything else. Priority was to give themselves to the Lord first and then to do the will of God secondly. So what is needed here? Well, first I want you to notice, as I already have mentioned, what is to be offered. And what is to be offered on Sunday? When you get that faith promise card and you look at it, it's not necessarily your money. It's not necessarily your wallet that you're out to that God is looking for. What He is looking for is exactly what the Scripture has said. He's looking for you. He wants to have you. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul said, I beseech you that you present your bodies, give yourself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, Paul again says, I die daily. He died to himself, to his desires, and all the rest. Far too often, people are content with just committing their souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we ought to. I'm glad that God has saved me. Amen. I'm glad that I'm going to heaven. I'm glad that there was a day in my life before I got out of the Navy that someone shared the gospel and I realized I was lost and I was on my way to hell. And I'm so glad that that day I went to that preacher. And by the way, let me just say, I was in the Baptist church. I was teaching young people. I was leading the music. I was doing all those things, and the preacher preached that morning, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and said, Jim Moore, if you die today, you're going to go to hell. And I went to my pastor right after the service, and I said, Preacher, I've got to get saved. He said, oh, Jim, you don't need to get saved. You're saved already. I said, Preacher, I'm going to get saved whether you want me to or not. And I got down on the old couch in his room and his office, and he got down next to me and led me to Christ. I'm so glad I'm saved. I never want to get over it, amen? We are willing to commit our souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ought to do that. I'm thankful for that, and that's what these missionaries are wanting to do. The idea that our body belongs to us, and that we can decide what we're going to do with it, literally hinders all that God wants to accomplish through us. The body is the temple, is it not? That's where God resides. And the Spirit lives inside. It is the medium or the Spirit that moves into us that causes the outward to act and to manifest the things that the Spirit speaks to us. And if the Spirit speaks to me and the body's not yielded, then I've got a problem. You see, the whole key is it's not just the inside that needs to be changed, it's the outside. I've got to be constantly dying to self every day, yielding everything about me so that when the Spirit speaks to me, the body's willing to do it. The inner man acts through the outer man. Does that make sense? When God called your preacher from a background of rock and roll, saved him, called him, he had a decision to make. The inner man, the Holy Spirit, was speaking to him saying, I'm going to call you into this ministry. I want you to surrender your life. It was the outer man that manifested that change. It was the outer man that had to go to Bible college. It was the outer man that had to literally give himself over to the Lord. Amen? All of these missionaries that have been called, there was a time in their life when God spoke to them and called them and laid the burden of India and Thailand and Curacao and helping churches and pastors upon their hearts. The Holy Spirit began to speak to them. But if they had not had a yielded body, it would have fallen on deaf ears. And the same thing is true in us. When we, Sunday, when you get that faith promise card, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you and say, this is the amount that I want you to give by faith and trusting God. The Holy Spirit begins to speak to you, but it is the outward body that's going to respond to that wooing, isn't it? And what are we going to do with it? Last year you had $107,000. Wow, that's a tremendous amount of money given to missions. And faithful folks gave weekly and faithfully to that. But let me ask you, that's in the past. The new year. What if the Lord told you to give more this year? Amen?
Amen.
If you want to increase your outreach, you're going to have to raise more funds. And so if the Lord speaks and he speaks to that inner man, are you going to be willing to yield the outer man to do what God wants you to do? And so the key here is the first thing that's offered is the total person. We have to give ourselves to the Lord. It is that inner man speaking to the outer man, responding and filling out the faith promise card and doing what God wants to do. Unless the body is yielded to the control of the Spirit, it will not do as God desires him to do. Amen? The Old Testament sacrifice, as we look in the Old Testament, had two general aspects. There were two things of the Old Testament sacrifices. One, it was offered as a gift, handed over for the good of another. In other words, it was given for that responsibility. Then it was also an object of burning to be totally used up. When Paul wrote and said that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, it was to be given as a gift for the good of another, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I am to give everything I have, talent, ability, whatever I can have, to the Lord as a gift for his good glory. But it is also to be used up. I'm 70 years old. My wife and I have kicked around the idea of what we're going to do in retirement. Somebody asked me the other day, preacher, how long are you going to preach? I said, until the Lord tells me to quit. You see, I'm not ready to quit. I don't know how old your preacher is. He looks like about 45. Patted the love offering. But anyway, he told the missionaries, if you be nice to me, I'll make sure you get support maybe. So I'm just trying to be nice to him, amen? But the thing is the whole key is, isn't that what we're supposed to do? You know, the whole world wants us to work for the world, and they give their bodies. The sports guys go out there, and they're playing football until their knees are broken. They can't do anything else. They've given every ounce of their energy and their bodies to a sport that's not going to matter one iota in eternity. And we as Christians, we fail to give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet it ought to be given to be completely used up for Him. About a year ago from here, just a few more days, I had a funeral. We were meeting and after the funeral at the little fellowship, and I was sitting across from a fella, and I began to have these pains here, and I thought, what's going on? So afterwards, I told my wife, I said, maybe I ought to go to urgent care and have it looked at. And she said, well, you know, if you go there, they're just going to probably not going to do anything for you. I said, yeah, you're probably right. It's just probably indigestion. I'll just go home and lay down. And it just wouldn't get lease up. And I started feeling a little tightness in this arm. I said, well, I think I'll go to the ER. And I did. And I had a heart attack. And I thought, wow, maybe the Lord's telling me it's time to quit. You know, you get a little gun shy after that, you know. But you know what? This isn't my body. He knew I was going to have that heart attack. He knew what I was going to go through. He knows everything about me. And I have made the decision that I'm just going to keep on serving until He tells me to quit. You see, that's the whole key, being used up, giving ourselves over to Him. It's not a temporal thing. That's why Paul said, I die daily. Every day he was tempted to go the other way. There were problems in his ministry. He was imprisoned. He was beaten. He was everything else. He could have thrown in the towel and said, I quit. But every day he died to his self and gave literally, once again, his body as a living sacrifice. And if God owns this body, He owns everything about it. Amen? God doesn't want your money. He wants you. Because if He's got you, He's got your money. So the first thing to be offered is you. Dying to self. You say, well, I did that once. But did you pick yourself back up off the altar? You see, that's why He did it every day. Because every day He knew He needed to die to the things that were pulling against Him. So then we see what's supposed to be, needs to be offered is self, and self on the sacrifice. And then how is it to be offered? How are we to offer what we have for the Lord? Well, notice how we're to give ourselves. In verse number 2, it says, how that in the trial of great affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. I think we ought to give it joyfully. Amen. Amen? I like to be joyful. I like to have a smile on my face. I don't want to look like I've already died. Amen? I get so tired of, is this being televised? Oh. Yeah. Boy, that's a good illustration too, but as long as it doesn't get back to my people. I have two elderly ladies. I did have two elderly ladies that came, and they would sit about the third row back on this side, same seat every day. And they were Christians for a long, long time, and they would come into the church. I never saw a smile. It broke my heart because I'd have preachers in that would, you know, be a little humorous at times and tell a joke, and people would laugh, and I'd look out and they're just stoic. And I thought, I don't want to endure my Christianity. I want to enjoy it, amen? You know, it's only going to get better, isn't it? Can you imagine going to heaven and going through the streets of glory and saying, well, this ain't no fun. Huh? Where's all the joy here, man? I thought this would be cool. No, I can only imagine what it's going to be like in heaven. Amen? It's going to be the most joyous time. That's why Jesus said, I want your joy to be full. He wants us joy. And when I give my body, it's not a drudgery. I don't say, hey, oh, Lord, I got to present my body again on the altar, and I got to die to self, and I got to do all the things that you want me to. No, it's a joy. I'm so thankful that He allows me to serve Him. I served the devil for 30 years, amen? And I'm so glad that I can serve my Lord and I can do it with a smile on my face. I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. I don't have to sing. I love to sing. Amen? You know, it's the attitude that we have when we die to the desires of our heart and we die to the flesh and we give it all over to God. The joy of the Lord floods our soul. And that's what we ought to have. We ought to have the joy down in my heart. Some people have it so far down they can't find it. Well, strike a well. Amen. Give your joy. You ought to walk into this church and make this pastor question what's going on in your life. Why are you so happy? When you take up the offering, I want you to know, I've always said, never play a funeral song when you're taking up the offering. It ought to be a song that's exciting, amen? The Bible says that God loveth a cheerful giver, hilarious giver. You know what? When you get your money, you ought to say, "Woo! Glory! Praise God." Well, sorry about that. I get a little excited. The thing is so many times, we have forgotten, and we look like, oh, it's a horrible thing if I have to do what the Lord wants, and I have to give up this and give up that. And, you know, I never had to give up anything. I just got everything. And the Lord took out the things that I didn't need anyway. When you give your life over, it ought to be a joyful giving. It ought to be a fun thing. That's what this Bible says, that they gave with their joy. Amen. Out of their deep poverty. I want you to understand, this was not a wealthy church. These people were struggling. They were the most persecuted church of the day. They were going through hardships and trial. And yet, out of this opportunity, they did it with joy. When you get that faith promise card on Sunday, you ought to say, "Well, praise God, I get to give." Okay. Well, we'll see what happens Sunday. Huh? Then notice also that not only it ought to be given joyfully, but it also ought to be given liberality. If I could speak, I'd be all right. Look at verse number 2. It says, how that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty amounted because of their joy and their deep poverty that abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They gave themselves joyfully. They gave what they had joyfully. They were willing to get involved in it. And they didn't just give a little bit. You know, when Paul said, "I die daily," when you die, you give it all. Don't you? I mean, when I've gone to funeral homes and I look at the person laying in that hope chest, that's what I call it, a hope chest. It's not a casket. It's not the end. But when you look at that person in that hope chest and you look at them, I mean, they've given everything they're going to give right then. It's over. It's done. And out of all of that, should we not in this life, realizing what lays before us with the joy of heaven, with the rewards of heaven, with the glory of the Lord and the presence of God, should we not be able to really give everything and not hold back anything? You know what? The Lord owns everything you got anyway. He's just entrusted it to you. This last year, my wife and I had a car and it was giving me all kinds of problems. And so I prayed and I said, "Lord, what do you want me to do with your car?" He said, "Well, you might as well get rid of it." So I did. I went down and you know what? The Lord worked out a deal that I would have never been able to do because I traded in his car and got one that he gave me that's better, that's his. You see, this brother here, Brother Lot and his dear wife, they want to get a motorhome that's $80,000. If God can give me a Ford, I like Ford. What's that? No. If you're going to say it, brother, if you're not ashamed, just. But the fact is that if he can give me a Ford that's an Escape and it's nothing special, I believe he could literally open up the windows of heaven and give him a brand new motorhome, don't you? That's my God. And it, you know, when we give liberally, you know what we're doing? We're helping these missionaries do what they're going to do and what God has called them to do. And we're not hurting them and hindering their ministry because we're willing to give everything we got. Well, I want you to realize, Paul said, I die daily. He said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. A sacrifice is consumed completely. It's given over to God. He wants us to give it and do it liberally. That word liberally means to give sincerely. It means to give without dissimulation. It means to give without self-seeking. It means to give generously. It means to give copious bestowal.
That's a big word, copious. I don't even know what it means.
It means to give everything, not hold back one thing. I told you last night I was wanting to give all Sunday. Amen. And I'm wondering how many of our folks, if I do that, would maybe hold back just a little bit just to cover some expenses. Isn't that what the flesh wants us to do in those things? Give liberally. Give it all. Give, 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 give. As you were faithful last year and what God had laid upon your heart and every week you gave, if you trusted Him last year and He blessed you, can you trust Him for a little bit more this year to channel through you to give to these folks that are wanting to get to the field or get to the place that God has wanted them to serve Him and accomplish what God wants to do through them? Oh, let's pray that we will. Give liberally. Give joyfully. And then I think we need to give prayerfully. Look at verse number 4. It says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. The word praying there simply means begging or beseeching. When Paul learned of their situation and knew what poverty they had and the affliction that they were going through and possibly family suffering and all the rest, when they came to him with this gift, and Paul said, oh, I can't take that. You need it. You need to supply your people. And they literally begged him, besought him to take that gift and use it to share in the ministering of others. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be so nice if we would come to the pastor Sunday night and say, preacher, here's my faith promise card. I filled it out. I've put everything down on it. You might know the situation that I'm in. Sure, maybe I could use it to take care of some need in my life or something like that. And you might know that. And I'd say, oh, no, preacher, I'm begging you, take this. I want you every week. I want to give it to God. I want Him to use it. Well, I'll bet you'd probably give Him a heart attack. Don't do it then. But the fact is these people besought Him. They prayed Him to take it. Oh, we ought to say, God, would you take? You know what we're hurting today? We're having more missionaries coming off the field than going to the field. 1.3 billion, billion, billion. China has 1.7 billion people. I read a book here just recently written by missionaries, modern day missionaries that have been in China. And they wrote about how they would look out their window and see apartment building after apartment building as far as you could see. And each one of those apartment buildings having several thousand of people in them, bigger than most of the towns in our country, yet without a gospel message. Oh, how we need to get missionaries to the field. But you know what we ought to do? I believe this with all my heart. What we're missing today is that we have families. Don't get mad at me, please, but I believe this to be true. We've got families that want our children to grow up to be doctors and lawyers and businessmen and be successful. And I don't think that's wrong. I think that's a wonderful thought. But we're missing the fact that we ought to be praying, God, would you use my young person for your honor and glory?
Amen.
The greatest calling, I believe, is the calling to serve God. If I can't serve God, then yeah, be a doctor, be a Christian doctor. If you can't be in full-time service, then yes, be a Christian lawyer or a Christian businessman. But oh, how we need to have our young people. And you know what we need as parents and grandparents? I've got six grandchildren. And you know what? I'm praying and I'm begging God, would you call them? Would you call them? Would you allow them to serve you in a full-time position? We ought to pray that God... Listen, if we're willing to give ourselves, should we not be willing to give our children to God as well? I don't know if you do it here. We dedicate children. You do? Okay. And when we dedicate that child, I always tell the parent, you're raising this child for God. Amen? And every day you ought to ask God to put a hedge about this child and use this child for His honor and glory. We ought to be willing to literally give ourselves and pray, oh God, help us. We need to fill in the missionary shortage, amen? We're losing it. Mormons are out all over the place. Jehovah's Witnesses, I've got Jehovah's Witnesses in my town that stand at the park and stand in the street corners with their literature, and they're willing to hand it out. And yet we've got people that are not even willing to go across the street and knock on a door and say, would you come to church? Oh, how we need to get back into serving God and to do it prayerfully. I must hurry on. We need to be doing it with love. In all this, I believe that the greatest motivating force that we find here, look at verse number 8. He says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. To prove the sincerity. It's easy to say, I love you. It's easy for us to say, I love the souls of India, of Thailand, of Curacao, the pastors. It's easy to say that. But you know, actions speak louder than words. Someone once said, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And the key is that if we really love and care for the souls of others like we're supposed to do, we'll be willing to give. And you know, we're not going to put a limit on what God tells us. I remember when we started, I mentioned last night, we started our faith promise and we started with $5 a week. And then every year for a while, we would just increase it a little bit. I finally got to the point of stopping and saying what I could do and saying, Lord, what do you want us to do? And adding to it according to His will, because I started loving the souls of others around the world. I may never meet the people in India that Brother Wiles works with, or the people in Thailand, the people in Curacao. But you know what? Because God loves them and I love God, I ought to love our souls as well. That's the great example, is it not? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. John chapter 15, verse number 13, I believe it is, that Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Should we not lay down what we have at the Lord's feet and say, here it is, Lord. This is what I have. What do you want out of it? How can I give? How can I be found faithful? How can I serve? How can I demonstrate that I care not only for you as I love you for what you've done for me, but I love the souls of those that you want to die for? You know, the Bible says He came unto His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life as a ransom. If I follow His example, I ought to take that wallet and lay it at the altar and say, Lord, that's yours. And then take the offering plate. As I read one story of a little boy that sat in the back of the church, and he, first time he'd been to church, and he was talking, they were getting ready to take up the offering, and he said, well, what is this? And they said, well, people give what they want to give to the Lord. When the offering plate came to him, he took it and set it down on the floor and stepped in it. Amen. Said, I give myself. See, that's what we ought to do. That's what God wants. You see, this altar is not something to shun. It's not something to be afraid of. It's a place that we can come and literally present ourselves a living sacrifice. Giving what God really wants. This. Totally. Because if He has this, then what this preacher's been praying for and faith promise for this next year, God knows his heart. God will work through his people to meet that need if he has us. Does he have you tonight? Do you belong to him completely? Not just head, not just having him inside, which is wonderful. I hope you're saved. But does the outside belong to him as well? That outer man that fulfills what the inner man has laid upon his heart. If not, tonight, why not just give yourself to him? Father, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you that you were willing to leave that wonderful place called heaven and come to this old earth and suffer, give your life so that we can have life everlasting. And tonight, Lord, as you have purchased us, the Bible says we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, because I've been bought with a price, I am to glorify you with everything. Help us to be willing to give ourselves to you tonight once again, every day. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And I ask this question all the time. I wonder how many in the building tonight would say, "Preacher, I know that I'm saved. I know that heaven's my home. I know that one day if I die, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. And I'm excited about it. As a testimony, here's my hand." Would you just slip them up all over the building tonight? God bless you. Thank you. You may put them down. Out of you that just raised your hand, oh, I believe you're probably some of the best Christians of the church. You're here tonight, faithful on a Thursday night. But have you literally given to God what he really wants? Self. You. Totally. Joyously. Liberally. Sacrificially. Prayerfully. Lovingly. How many would say, "Preacher, I want to give everything I am to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you just pray for me? Here's my hand all over the building." God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Listen, do what God wants you to do tonight. Is there anyone here tonight that would say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know for sure if I died tonight I'm going to go to heaven. But I am concerned about it, and I'd like to have that joy, that peace that only God can give. Would you just pray for me? Here's my hand." Anyone like that in the building? Father, tonight, thank you for what you've done and what you'll do as you work in hearts of people. Help us tonight, each and every one of us, this preacher included, to be willing to lay at this altar everything that I am for your honor and your glory. And we'll be careful always to thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Preacher, you want to come?